Well, the title of today's message is The Struggles of Life. I want to start by a shock statement. The world is full of imperfect people, and we are them. And I want you to know, struggles are not uncommon for those who believe God and trust God. It's not uncommon at all. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about attacks. I'm speaking of those internal struggles, those things that are down in you, that each and every born-again believer deals with every day. Now, so this is after you get saved. Now, I know we got problems before we get saved, and that all these things still apply. But what about after you get saved? Can I say sometimes it feels like the struggles intensify sometimes when you get saved? So what is all this about? Well, let's look. First of all, let's talk about sanctification, because when you got saved, God took you out of this pile and he put you over in this pile. He said you're going to be sanctified. You're going to be set apart. And so now you're going to be holy by the blood of Christ, not by anything that you've done, but by the works of Christ that you receive in Christ. Now you, by the blood of Jesus, are washed and cleansed, and you stand free. And now you are holy in my sight, and I'm just going to set you over here apart from everybody else. That's what you did when you got saved. That's what sanctification means. It is an event. But can I also tell you that although it was an event, it's still a process? Because I have not met anyone yet that still can walk free of sin. Now, your sins are atoned for, don't get me wrong. God said he doesn't keep track. He's not keeping scores, not keeping records. And as long as you have the blood of Jesus, there is a grace that is afforded to you while the intent of your heart is in this sanctification process. Is everybody tracking? But if you don't understand this concept, and I've got to talk to a few things conceptually here, because if we don't, we're going to fall into the same old routines, we're going to do the same circles on our life, and we're going to keep tripping over the same things and stepping in the same holes, and we're basically going to stay injured the same way we've been injured. So I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in going through this next season and going into through the door into the new season. I want to have a new approach and a new way. So why don't we look into the Word and let the Word give us clear instruction on what to do. Now here we go. Now here is the big part of the problem here. Ready? We blame the devil for everything. We do. We do. Remember those old songs we used to sing? Went to the enemy's camp and I. Yeah, we went back to the enemy's camp. Stole everything he took. It's all about the devil. You understand? And then he's under my feet. Now we're trying to get the devil under our feet, right? Right? So you have to fight. How many people heard this say? Remember some of the old timers, and I won't name any names, but some of the grandmas, and well, you just got to fight that old devil. Some of y'all still fighting that old devil. The devil is defeated. The devil, the devil, the devil. Okay, let me set something straight. There is no God versus the devil. There is no force of good and evil. The force of good and the force of evil are not rivals and somehow co-equal. And they're dueling it out, fighting it out. Forget what Star Wars has taught you as a child. We won. If you hear nothing else I say today, death, hell, and the grave are defeated. That means the devil no longer has power over you. Once it's occurred, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that was, listen to me, somebody needs to hear this, that was the end of your fight with the devil. And you won. Say, I won. Anyone ever used to go to the camp meetings? Remember the old camp meetings? Let me see a hand if you've ever been to a camp meeting back in the day. Heard of those camp meetings back in the day? For the rest of you, we'll tell you about it, a little bit about it. So, you know, basically, they'd always pick the hottest day of summer. And air conditioner was always broken. So you always had to use a fan. Now, some of them had sawdust on the floor. You name it. I mean, you know, they had it. But, you know, you're just going to get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you testify? Ha! Where you at, AJ? Give me a ha. Where's AJ? Come on, y'all. Give me a ha. Ha! Get a little jerk. Oh, right? Start out slow, some of y'all. Ford's over you backing up. And all of a sudden you go freestyling. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But you better guarantee on one of those nights they were going to have an altar call on sanctification. I don't know about you, but on that night, I found myself going down to that altar call. And I was told, hallelujah, that I went down to that altar call, that when I came back, the sin nature that was upon me would be cast out. And I wouldn't have to fight that sin nature. Oh! So I went down. And listen to me, verifiable. The power of God hit me. And it is true. I received every word that pastor taught me. And I believed it. I took it as oil. It was real to me. And I felt, experienced, and was changed. Don't be mistaken. But 1-2 days later, now, we're in truth. At church, I got to tell truth. Now, for Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. 1 or 2 days later, there I was, slipping right back into the same old thing I just got delivered with, and repeat. I just wonder how many of those altar calls I attended. Am I the only one that ever dealt with it? Can I ask a serious question? How many of us are still dealing with it right now? You're great on Sunday. What happens on Thursday and Friday? By Saturday, Lord, you need to full-blown repent. I'll preach to somebody in here. You know, for some of y'all just afraid to say amen right now. Because, you know, if I say amen, he'll know he's talking to me. Well, I'm talking to all of us. So let me just go ahead and expose it now. Friday, your pastor swinging with both hands too. Don't worry. I'm fighting the same good fight of faith you are. It's a fight of faith. That means you got to fight. But it is a good fight because we win. Can never lose sight of the fact, I don't care what you're fighting, I don't care what you're facing, I don't care who you're up against, you win. Just remember that. Doesn't say you're not going to fight, doesn't say you're not going to struggle, but you win. Now, I got to get that message sold all the way through here because we're not coming from a standpoint of defeat. We're coming from a standpoint of victory. We're not coming about what could happen. We're talking about what's already happened and what's already going to take place. I'm not waiting for something to happen for me from God. God's already done the thing. I'm waiting on the timing of it to manifest in my life. That's not the same thing. Is everyone still with me? So, how do we overcome the weaknesses in our life? I mean, how do we do it? Now, listen, let me start by doing it this way. There's a difference between weakness and wickedness. It's not the same thing. So, if someone's wicked, they've just basically made up their mind. They refuse they know what they're doing is wrong, and they refuse or have no intention to change it. Okay, that's wickedness. And, you know, listen, I guess, how do I say it? I don't want to say this the wrong way, but I can no longer exhaust my efforts on those folks. I'm going to be a good witness. I'm going to try to be a living epistle in their life. I'm going to continue praying for them. No, that's never going to change. If they ever need me, I'll be on the phone in 5 minutes, or I'll be in my car on the way over. But I cannot spend my time dealing with the wickedness of the world when there are people who have weaknesses that are willing to be strengthened. You show me somebody with a weakness, and they're trying, and they're trying to get it right, and they're trying to fix, I will stand by you, I will be with you, I will cover you, I will protect you, I will guard you, I will give you word, I'll do anything I can to try to help you past your weakness. Now listen to this, I want to make a statement, I want you to hear. The people that have great strengths also have great weaknesses. And I don't know why, but there always seems to be like that one sin, and it seems to be the hardest to overcome. Can anybody relate? It's like, man, it's one thing, and what the world? This one thing, I cannot shake it. It's the one thing that keeps you falling back, and it just keeps drawing you back to the same place in life. And then finally, you know, you gain a little measure of dominance over it. You're doing good for a little while, and then you think you've got it licked. Man, you're right back in it again. So, I'm going to be there for those that have a weakness. And you need to be there too. Because if there is a sincere heart that's trapped in weakness, I'm going to do everything in my power to get them out of that trap. And by the way, that's not my opinion. That is a requirement from God. Galatians 6:1 says in NIV, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You don't come on them strong. You don't say, what's the matter? Are you crazy? They already know they're crazy. Of course they're crazy. Nobody in their right mind would have done what they did. You don't think crazy knows as crazy does? They know. Gonna have to remind them. But it says, but watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So there's a little protection clause in there. But we still have to move towards restoration. So basically, don't set them up or yourself up for failure. Okay? So like, if you're on a diet, don't go eat the salad at the all-you-can-eat buffet. Some of y'all sit there thinking, say, what? What's wrong with that? Listen, if you're fighting an alcohol addiction, you know, don't go be a bartender. Oh, I'm just serving it. No, you're not. You're over there licking the glasses when nobody's looking. A little bit left in that glass. So the Bible clearly instructs us on how we're supposed to handle those who are suffering from weaknesses. So here's the problem. Now, I'm not saying there, but there's a lot of folks in the church world, and they don't understand this. See, the Bible says love covers. So when we step in and we cover, and we protect them from the outside influences, and we protect them from the embarrassment and the shame that goes along with what is in their issue. We're in an attempt to restore them. Can you see that? But instead of people looking at it as love covers, they look at it as a cover-up. You see the difference? So instead of love covering a multitude of sins, instead, they don't want restoration, they want debilitation. Debilitation means to make someone weakened or more. They want to add to it, make them worse. So listen to me. Restoration has to be on both sides. Okay, you don't get that. Okay. Wife, Husband, if your other, well, because that's marriage, we'll talk about that. That's closest to home. If the other is going through something and they're trying to be restored or trying to be healed or trying to be helped, don't keep punishing them. Do you understand? You don't bring it up every day. And every time something doesn't go your way or you want to, you know, take a shot below the belt, well, just remember what you did. Because all you did was take that wound and you just rake that scab right back off it. Now, if anybody knows anything about healing, you can have a perfectly, have a wound right there, that thing can scab over and it can be healing just perfect. When you tear that scab off, it starts all over. So we don't want to keep each other raw or we'll never heal. And the problem is some of us have been in marriages and we all do it. Don't say we don't do it. We all do it. We're like chickens, man. We see a, you know, one little hole and then it keep picking. We can't heal if we're picking the wound. So we need to kind of create an atmosphere where the wound can heal. Have I got anybody's attention yet? So for some reason, I think it's just in the nature of people that they want to rush to the rock pile every time somebody makes a mistake. Man, they found out somebody does something wrong. First thing they do, phones are ringing. Did you hear about that? My God, did you see that? Or they're out on social media. Hey, check this out. Check out. And they share, ain't shared a video in 6 weeks, 6 months, but this is going to all their friends. And it's never good. How is that helping the ones involved to heal? Now, I'm telling you what the scripture assigned us to do, and I'm telling you what we get caught up into, and we wonder why our own lives are a wreck. I'm talking to everybody right here, too. You got to guard your heart, and this is the way you guard it. You got to watch, because that's where all the issues come from, so we got to make sure that we're coming with a sincere heart when we do this. Let me put it this way. How many people, every time you make a mistake, you want me to post it on social media? Anybody? I get your hand? Because I'll go ahead and we'll start posting everything you do wrong. Why is nobody raising a hand? Don't you dare raise your hand now, but how many people have posted something about somebody you shouldn't have posted? Don't even put your hands up. Now, we got to back up a little bit. What's the whole theme of this Bible? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, you just told me you don't want anybody posting anything on you. Why are you posting anything on anybody else? Now, as your bishop, what I did is I went through the entire roster and I got everybody's name. No, I did. And I know all you. If I didn't know you, I found out somebody who knew something about you. And I took my time and I wrote every one of y'all's secret sins. If y'all turn your eyes to the screen, I'm going to post them right now. Oh, did you see somebody? I went, is he really going to do that? Oh, my God. Hey, y'all can bring them back in now. They took off running. Just bring them back in. Listen, nobody wants to hang out their dirty laundry in front of anybody. So let's think about this the next time before we react and before we start talking about things with other people as a matter of spiritual concern. Anybody ever had that? Well, this is, I'm not gossiping, but yes, you are. It's called gossip. Gossip. Abomination. Gossip. It's what it's called. That's right. But no, this is a matter of prayer and concern. This is a matter of being nosy and you need to mind your own business. There's no healing in it. God's not in it. Moving right along. So step one You've got to create a safe environment if you ever want to see any kind of real and lasting change. Not a temporary, but a real and lasting change. You got to shift something in the environment. So here we go. Y'all ready to drill down a little bit? Let's get to the root that's producing the wrong fruit. Because we need to be educated on it, okay? So here is where the root all begins. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 7. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Starts out by telling us we're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, you would think if we were filled with the Spirit of God that everything that follows and precedes that, we would just be one way all the time. Okay, but let me put it this way. When you read this, I want you to pay attention to the verbiage, and we're going to break it down. Because it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body, say the flesh, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested through our mortal flesh. Say through our flesh. Say through our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So you can't have a new wineskin unless something dies. So there's a death, a dying process that's going on at the same time that you're living and getting life and giving life. So I'm going to tell you this. You can see by what's happening here, because it says death is working in us, but life in you. So if something's dying in me, that means you, now you can receive life from me. You don't get it. Yeah. See, I used to be around you. You were hanging around death and didn't know it. You were living around a corpse, and my stench was getting over on your life. But see, now I'm alive. I said, that part's dead now. That's not going to be around. See, all that nastiness and all that wickedness that was in me has died. So now there's life in you, because now life's coming out of me into you. Are you following me now? So can I say it this way? Listen to me. My struggle releases the power of Christ through me. See, when I'm going through struggles, what happens is I'm dealing with something. And I'm dealing with something, I mean God's dealing with me. And as God's dealing with me through the struggle, how I come out, remember, I win. Doesn't matter what I have to go through in the process. I never lose my focus that I win, because in there somewhere grace is working for me. And if grace is working for me, it's teaching me something. And when I come out, I am going to come out. And when I come out, I'm going to be better than when I went in. Because I didn't know until I know. But now I know. And so now, if things are going to be different, now I have something to offer you that I didn't have before I went through the struggle. So the thing that died in me now is life in you. Can you see the scripture? So our perception of life is clearly defined here. Look here. There's two perspectives here. And you'll see it clearly in this verse. From that which is seen, we'll call that the earthly perspective, and that which is from heaven, or the unseen realm, okay? So to every earthly perspective, there is also a heavenly counter perspective. Do you see that? Yeah. So what's the underlying theme of the Bible? Do unto others. Who's the greatest? Those that will lay down their life. So according to the Bible, it's these are those who have heavenly perspective. They're looking at it through heavenly perspective. Why? Because death is working in us, so life is working in you. Now, let's turn. We're going to see it again. Let's go to Romans 7, verse 14, same version. Two perspectives here. We know that the law is spiritual. Say heavenly. But I am unspiritual. Say earthly. Sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. And this is where most people live. They don't understand. They can't figure it out. We just talked about it. Man, I'm doing good for 1 minute. Now I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing. Now this is Paul talking here. Watch. He says, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but what? It is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. What is he talking about? I thought Christ lives in me. We're talking about the flesh. Christ doesn't live in your flesh. What? Oh, don't say that. No. Truth and untruth can't cohabitate. What he's trying to do is kill your flesh. He's not trying to live in it. He's trying to kill it. His spirit lives in you. And his spirit's trying to kill the flesh. People got to somehow think of Christ is going to live in their flesh. No, he's not climbing in your ugly flesh suit. Matter of fact, one day you're going to take off that corruption and you're going to put on the incorruptible. But you don't have that suit yet. And Christ is not going to climb in it either. So we got to quit trying to make Christ cohabitate in our flesh. We have a word for it. It's called justification. Back over here. Focus, y'all. That is, in my sinful nature. The flesh has a sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, that I keep on doing. Go ahead, put your hand up. Who am I talking to? I mean, is this like an everyday affair for everybody? Go like this. Yeah. Now, if I do what I want not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, this is the place we all meet Christ. Understand that. And there's two perspectives. There is no good in the flesh because it has an earthly perspective. Somebody say sinful nature. Remember that statement? The devil made me do it. How many of you have used it? I don't know. It's that devil. He's been tempting me. It's that devil. Been fighting the devil all week. He's winning. Well, that's such a shame since, you know, he's already lost. What's he winning? Let me help you. The reason why you're struggling is you're still blaming the devil. Did you read this passage of Scripture? It doesn't mention the devil anywhere. No, the devil didn't make you do it. Say, I made me do it. Something's still living in you. But I got saved. Still alive. I'm a new man. Yeah, but there's still some of that old man hanging around. Some of that old nature hanging around. Sanctification is an event, but it's a process. It's a process of dying while you're living. Genesis 1:20. Let's just take it back and let's see how we do it. It says right here. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be made like God. There's the Holy Spirit, there's the Father, and there's Christ, right? So we have spirit, word, and flesh. In a human, we have spirit, soul, and body. When he instructed Moses for the tabernacle in the wilderness, or when he had instruction for the temple, we saw the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. You'll see the three-part being throughout, because we were made in the image of God. We're a 3D being. Say, I'm a 3D me. And one of those parts, say the flesh. There's no good in this part of you. Not because I said it, because I just read it to you Paul said there's no good in me. Are you tracking me? So here is the place where you have to decide who and what to believe. Why? because there is a spirit. And where the spirit of truth in you, in your spirit man, that's where the absolute spirit of truth resides. Everyone understand that? So you have the flesh over here that is no good. You have the spirit of absolute truth that is right here. And then right in the middle, you got the soul. Oh my God. This is the part of you that determines who you are. Your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, your feelings, every part of you, every sensory perception, every part of who you are, how you react, how you don't react, that's in your soul. And you got a spirit that's hanging out with your soul, and you got a flesh that's hanging out with your soul. So everybody in here that could hear my voice today, you have to make a decision on who's going to be talking to you. Because whoever is talking to you is who you're going to be listening to. And whoever you're listening to is what you're going to become. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Don't lose it. So you need to be mindful of who is speaking. Because whoever is speaking, that's who you're going to listen to. It's one of two. You're either listening to the spirit man or you're listening to the flesh man. Now, I know I went from preaching, I went over into teaching, because if we don't understand this, we're going to keep tripping, keep stumbling, and we're not going to have an understanding, we're going to keep blaming the devil. It's always somebody else's fault. No, this time it's you. And if you don't know it's you, you'll never take responsibility. But then once you take responsibility, you have to know what to do. And you have to know why you're doing it. So that's why we're breaking it down, okay? So let's just hang with me just a little bit longer here. So most of us, watch this, we go to church on Sunday, and I'm so grateful you're here. You need to be here every Sunday. And truthfully, you should be here on Wednesday, too. And you're going to see why in a minute. Because you come here Sunday, and I mean, you know, 30 minutes, if I'm long-winded, we might go 45 minutes, maybe. And then the rest of the week, see, you're listening to the Spirit of Truth for 30 to 45 minutes. And man, that's why you feel so spizzed when you leave here. That's why you're good for a day, for 2 days. But then you're listening to the world all week long. And for some reason, you can't figure out why you're feeling and stumbling over the same weaknesses. Now, the devil does try to influence you. He will tempt you, right? What part of you do you think the devil speaks to? He's not talking to the Holy Spirit. So what part's he going to speak to? Now, you've already defeated him. But if he can, sweet thing, if he can catch your eye. If he can tempt you with his desires. Are you listening to me? That he will speak to that flesh. And if he speaks loud enough, and your flesh will lend him an ear, then he will talk to your soul. And you'll be thinking about what he said. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So next thing you're going to be doing, the thing you're thinking about, the thing you're talking about. Because you're over here talking with an ungodly thing. That's how it happens. Come to church, get the truth come in there, you start talking to the stronger part of you. Boom, he starts convincing the soul, releasing all those soul ties, getting rid of those strongholds, right? And they're down. You're finally convinced. By the end of the week, because you've only heard him for 30 to 45 minutes, by the end of the week, you are convinced to do things that you know are crazy, that you know you shouldn't be doing, and yet you're doing them again. This is where we live. This is why we fight. We're not fighting the devil. We're fighting that nature that's down on the inside. So basically, watch this. If you get to the point where you can't hear your flesh, then you can't hear the devil. Because he has no one to talk to. So do yourself a favor. Don't take the flesh man places where he comes alive. If you do, when he comes back, He's going to have a lot to talk to your soul about. And he will be in there 24/7. But we blame the enemy for everything. Everything. Everything that's wrong in our life, the enemy. Everything didn't happen the way I thought it would, the enemy. Yep. If you don't mind, I want to say this. Somebody needs to hear this today. If you're struggling, it does not make you a bad person. It simply reveals a weakness. We all have some. Now, I have a statement I've used in over 30 years of ministry, and I really can't improve on it. You want to hear what it is? It's not what you've done that matters. It's how you recover. See, right now, there's a lot of my staff looking at me going, why? Because they've been in my office, and I've had to use that statement. I've had this statement, or very similar to it, extended in my own life. You can sit there and talk about what's wrong, and you can talk about what happened. You can talk about how awful it is. You can demonize it. You can awfulize it, and nothing will change. It'll just make you feel worse about the situation while you're in. That's why, and again, I'm not here to pick any fights today. That's why I don't like conventional counseling. You get two people that are bitter, and this one throws up on this one, and then this one throws on this one. This one punches this one. Well, you ain't going to get punched without coming back with a counter. So you start one-upping each other. You're so far below the belt now, you below your feet. You know what I'm talking about? No. There is a part of you called your soul. And that soul can be wounded just like your ankle. Can be wounded just like if I cut your arm. A real, sincere wound. Problem is, you can't see it. And the problem is, there are wounded people. We are the walking wounded. We come in here and get a little healing balm of Gilead on Sunday, smearing on that wound. How many people ever use lidocaine? You have pain, take a little shot of lidocaine. Anybody ever go to the dentist? He can drill on your tooth and snatch on it, pull it on out. You don't even know he's in there. But what happens 2 hours later? So we're using the Holy Ghost like lidocaine. We want to come in on Sunday. Oh, Lord, touch me. Oh, there's my little dabble do me. And I'm good for about a day till that night. And then all night I'm staying awake again with the same dream, same nightmare. I'm still suffering the same one because nothing changed. But when I come to church, I feel better. And you need to come to church. That's where you get strengthened. But you have 7 days in a week, and what are you doing those other 6 days? Now we got 2 days a week you can come and be strengthened. Praise the Lord. But I'm a physician. One thing I'll tell you, I don't care how good I do my job. If you're not following what you're supposed to be doing at home, I can't help you. Because you can undo all my do. God is trying to heal us. He's trying to restore us. He's trying to fix us. But there's some things we're going to have to do. And the way we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do some things we don't want to do. Things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. Well, there's going to be some things that you don't want to do that you also have to do. You know, people say all the time, man, you work out all the time. Yeah, I don't always want to. How come everyone sits around and eats, eats this and eats that, and you eat good? Why? I don't want to. Sometimes you got to do some things you don't want to do. But now I can stand up here at my age. I don't have 1 acre of pain in my body. I can outrun most of the teenagers in this church. I just chose a higher level of achievement. And everything I do for Christ, I want to try to do a higher level of achievement. I'm not there yet, but I'm working for it. But in order to get there, you got to do some things you don't want to do. You think those athletes, we're avid tennis fans, they'll go out and hit 1,000 balls a day. Baseball players will stand in a batting cage. And they'll just over and over, 1,000 times a day. Boxers stand in a train, bah, 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 6 hours a day, bam, 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 bam. You think we want to stand in there and do that? You think these football players want to run into sleds and dummies for hours and hours out in 100-degree weather? Sometimes when you want what you want, you got to do what you don't want to do. And I'm telling you, the flesh will tell you not to do the things you need to do. I remember one day, my best friend, back then I was teaching some Krav Maga classes, and I said, "You coming?" He goes, "Man, truthfully, I think I'm a little too tired from work." I said, "Tell you what, just come on down here, and if, you know, you get going and you don't want to do it, then you can stop." So he said, "All right." And I just pulled on the friendship. I did. I knew he didn't really want to come. And it probably wouldn't have made a big difference if he didn't come, but I just really wanted him to come. And he came, and I'll never forget it. He got there, and he was a little lethargic at first, and then after he got going, first of all, he did one of the greatest feats because I had one of my black belts over there, and he's up there running down, kicking, and I had a little race going. And it was, you know, you had to do these kicks and turns, and you had to go down the line, then you had to race and turn back, and you're live. This is full. And he actually beat my top black belt in that exercise. So it was a great, glorious moment for him. And he never would have got to experience that victory. And you know what he told me when he walked out? He said, "Man," he said, "it was awful at first." He said, "I wanted to go home," but he said, "No, I'm going to stick it out." He said, and all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, he said, "I got this invigorating flow through my body." He said, "Man, now I don't want to leave." Do you understand? That's what it's like. Nobody wants to sit there and read their Bible at first. Nobody wants to sit there and pray at first. Oh, it's like pulling teeth. But you stay with it. You lay with it. Sometimes I'll pick up my Bible and I got to study for you, and I don't want to. I wish I could just tell you as a bishop, "Oh, I'm just craving the word all day long." There's days I'm so full, so busy, I don't even know which direction I'm going. I don't remember what drawer I put my underwear in. You understand what I'm saying? And I got to go study the Bible, and I pick it up, and all I do is see white on the page. But I keep staring at the white, and pretty soon, those black letters on the page start turning into words, turning into paragraphs. The next thing you know, they start turning into spirit. And I just lay with it. Next thing I know, I'm like, "Oh, that's a good thought." Next thing I know, "Oh, man." Next thing I know, starts dropping gold. Oh, next thing I know, I'm in. I'm studying the chapter. "Oh, I remember seeing that over here. Now I'm over here. Now it's all tying together, boy." See, sometimes to get what you want, you got to do what you don't want to do. I'm talking to somebody. The flesh is not going to change until we do some things to change it. We can't just say it's going to get better. Oh, we can't just say a prayer and think everything's just going to go away. No, you have a part to play. And you have, flesh is meat. You got to train it. I can take this flesh. I can train it. It'll build nice muscles. It's flesh. It's used to responding to training. You can train it in the ways of God. And whether it likes to or not, it has to die to its nature. And it has to take on the new nature. And so we got to train it. You know, why do you think we have small groups? We got Bible studies. Why do we have prayer? Why do people come in here for prayer? Because it trains that flesh. Why do you think at the beginning of service we got praise and worship? Because praise and worship has never been about you. It's never been about me. Praise and worship is all about God. God says, he's so adamant about it, he says, the true worshipers worship me in spirit. They know flesh in it. Can I say it? Sometimes we come here and worship in the flesh. Because you think if you hand up, everybody thinks you're spiritual now. Ain't nothing going on here. This morning, the minute they dropped the hat, that was the true worshipers. That was spirit. That was life. Wasn't nobody putting on nothing. But I'll tell you right now, your flesh felt different too. Everyone of you had a smile on your face walking around. You didn't care if your rent was due, didn't care what was going on. That ankle, that knee been bothering you, you didn't even limp. You just hit five people. Okay, I'll go get five people. You forgot you had a bad knee. Somehow the reason you hurt so much, you got too much time to think about it. See, you're gonna, I always say don't let anyone make you be someone you don't want to be. I don't want to be that guy. So I mean that with love and encouragement. Guys, I'm going to have to wrap this up. I'm going to have to bring this to a close. And like I said, there's no way to even think that I'm going to get through this today. But I want to make a statement. And to show you how fresh it is off the grill, is it came out in a conversation we had right before I walked out here. But I want to say it to you. And I want you to hear me. And I want you to listen. And I want you to take it deep into your soul. Listen to me. Everyone loves grace. But remember, grace can also work against us if we don't pay attention to the life lesson it's trying to teach us. That was some gold that was dropped right before I walked out here. If you didn't hear anything else and you heard that, you have enough to work on the whole week. I want you to look at the places in your life where grace stepped in, covered you, protected you, kept you, guided you. If you don't allow that grace to teach you the life lesson that you are supposed to learn through that period of grace, then you have wasted it. How many people have ever made mistakes? Do not waste your mistakes. The enemy wants to use them against you. You use them where grace taught you the lesson through that mistake, and you'll know how not to do it next time. Don't waste your mistakes. Now, you can sit around and you can get the big lip, and you can get the long face, and you can get the drop downs and all that stuff, or you can lift your head up and you can hold yourself up before God and says, I'm forgiven, and God keeps no record of sins because he knows my heart, and grace is working for me, and I'm going to be better than I was before I got here, and I'm going to change because the soul in me is no longer going to listen to that flesh because I'm putting it down. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to choke the life out of that flesh. Say, I'm going to train myself up. We tell our children, the Bible tells us to train our children up in the way they should go. Why? So when they get old, they won't depart from it. Because it's in them, it's part of them now. They know what to fall back on. And I can tell you, the Bible also says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, why? Because it is the, why do you go back to a restaurant? It was the taste that brought you back. Why could you not stay away from mama's cooking? Because it was the taste that brought you. You couldn't wait to get back and get that cooking. Let me tell you something. You need to spend enough time where you've tasted God so much that no matter what you eat out in another restaurant somewhere, it's nothing like it was at mama's house. It's nothing like it was at daddy's house. It's nothing like it was when I was with God. Nothing can compare to the taste. We got to get back where we love God more than we love the things around us. We got to get where we love God, man. My God, one thing about camp means how many remember them. Man, we couldn't wait. Man, we'd get back there, and I'm telling you, we'd feel the power of God. We felt it. Don't say you didn't feel it. We experienced it. Man, that first drop of the hammer, that bam, boom, 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 them running tents, bam, boom, 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 boom. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't make me make AJ and Robert and Rob come up. I mean, don't make me get them all up here. And let me tell you, the music had nothing to do with it. But if you didn't have music, we'd tear up everything in sight. And you know why we had it? We had a revival of 13 weeks here every night, never missed one night. Had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Usually had an event or speakers throughout the week. We were here. You know why? We were hungry. And we couldn't get enough of the taste of God. The more we tasted, the more we wanted. And we trained that flesh to do what God needed us to do so we could be who God needed us to be. That is how you deal with the struggles of life. Can you please stand to your feet? I got to cut it off. It's not over. We haven't even dug into the depth of it yet. Just too much to unfold here. So we'll do this in a series. Y'all okay with that? I like this vein we're in. Are you okay? I think it makes us better. I think it makes us look at the core of who we are and shows us a way that we can get closer to God. And to me, that's everything. How can I get closer to the God that we serve? Please, when I'm speaking to you, I am in no way speaking out of condemnation. But sometimes somebody has to smack you upside the head a little bit and say, hey, pay attention. You know, I don't know about you. Did any of you ever have a parent like this? If I was supposed to be focused on something and I was wandering over here, I'd just get this little pop on the side of the head. Not a painful pop, just like, oh, oh. How many of you have ever been popped in church? That was a Holy Ghost working through your mama. God is good. I know. If I see it not enough, I'm going to run over and pop you upside the head. No, let's not get that started, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we need the Word of God to come in our life and just get our focus. Hey, you're off to the left a little bit. You're off to the right here. You need to get back in the middle. And that's what God does so gently and so kindly and so wonderful. And so the more we hear about it, the more we look and we see ourselves in here, then the more we know how to get out. And so I hope this is helping you. I just want to go a little deeper, and I want to break a few more things out. I want to unpack a few things for you. I want to drill down so you maybe see a few things that you haven't seen, or maybe see them in a way you've never seen them before. And then when you see them, I pray to God that they're going to do like everything else in the Word of God. They're going to make us better. How many people want to be better? Man, look up to heaven right now and say, God, fix me. God, fix me. That's what this is all about. Because you know what? If God fixes me, I can be better for you. See, Christ is dying in me, so there's life in you. That's what Paul said. And can I just make mention of that? When he wrote that chapter, he was already saved. He was already saved. He said, man, I'm struggling too. So we're all struggling. But we win. Everybody lift your hands right now. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage every heart that's listening here right now. Lord, I pray that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. That through this sermon, you were able to single out a few things and to make clarity to a few areas of confusion. I don't know, perhaps you even had to set them back on a course or a path where they have deviated or they've swerved. Lord, I pray that for some reason, maybe they've lost focus or things weren't clear as they used to be. God, now they can see crystal clear exactly what they need to be doing and the way they need to be doing it. God, I'm going to believe that each and every day now you're going to be with them, in them, lead them, guiding, guarding them, putting the right people in front of them, taking the wrong people away from them and removing them from their lives. God, help surround them with people that are full of the Spirit, strong in the Lord. So they can speak to that soul, and that soul will be strong and edified. God, take away the negativity of this world and shield them and guard their ears and their eye gates from all that nonsense that tends to pull them away from the center of your faith. God, I pray that each and every person here is restored spiritually, physically, and emotionally. If there be any sickness in here, Lord, I pray it's eradicated by the power of the Spirit of God. I thank you in advance, Lord, for taking care of the families, for taking care of each and every person that's here, Lord. Thank you for making provision for your need based on your heavenly account. God, I thank you now that you have kept us till now. And Lord, if you've done a good job till now, you'll do a good job forever. But I believe our latter is going to be greater than our former. So Lord, help us all as we move into this next season. Help us to prepare for the harvest that's coming during this same season. Get our minds right, get our hearts right, and get our heads right, Lord Jesus. We thank you in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Bless this church. Amen. 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 Come on, give God some praise. Guys, you know, every week I like to give someone a chance to receive the Lord if they have not had a chance to do that. If you've ever, I don't know, for whatever reason, you've maybe you believe in Jesus, but you just never got to pray that prayer saying, Lord, I want you to come into my heart and I want you to be Lord of my life. If you haven't done that, I would love to pray that prayer with you. And what we do here is we're all going to pray that prayer in just a minute out loud. And we're going to let you participate if you want to. Now, if you do, all I ask is, and I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so I know who you are. Just so when we're praying, I can just kind of agree with you in prayer. I'm not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you. It's not about that. But, you know, Christ wasn't ashamed to die for you in public, and we shouldn't be ashamed to receive him in public. As a matter of fact, you should be excited to receive. You say, yeah, man, finally getting this mess straightened up. Because we were all a hot mess in here. If anybody just tells you otherwise, they're lying. Some of us are still a hot mess, but we're working our way through it. So welcome to our motley crew. But I can tell you right now, if you haven't done that yet, you're missing the greatest opportunity of your life. So what I'll do is, if that's you, just can I see who you are real quick? Just because we're about to pray, and I just wonder who it is. Thank you for that hand. 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 Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Wow, hands all over the house. Thank you. Now, you can put those hands down. If you're here today and you, for whatever reason, we've all been there. We're doing pretty good. We'd already asked Christ in our life, but, man, life just kind of pulled us one way or the other. Don't even know how it happened. Doesn't matter. The answer is you want to fix it. And if you do, this same prayer puts you right back into right standing with God. So if that's you and you just want to be like the prodigal son, you want to come home today. If that's you, can I see your hands? Let me just see your hands. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for the hand. Anybody? Thank you for that hand. Okay, you can put your hands down. And this is what it's all about, guys. It's all about a grace that's intact. Not just to restore you, but listen to me. You also learned a life lesson. When the prodigal son returned, remember, he had a whole bunch of experience, and the chances of ever going back into that lifestyle were nearly impossible. So don't waste your mistakes. So right now, I want to do exactly what I said I want to do. I want to pray that prayer of salvation with you. It's not important that you hear me pray it or the people around you. It's important that you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith. And the moment you say amen, remember, it's done. It's finished. And you never have to worry about it again. Okay? So let's all bow our heads and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me. Make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are now my Lord. I believe it. Now confess it. And that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise here. Let's just celebrate with all those. I'll tell you what, let me ask this. Who can make it this Wednesday night? I promised y'all that I would do a talk on health. I don't want to just say healing. And I want to talk about, we'll put some spiritual, but it's going to be about physical health. You know, I speak all over the world. I speak on TBN on health and healing, have for over 20 years. And I have to know that my home church gets the message. So I don't know how much of those you're listening to are hearing, but I'll tell you right now, How many people can be here if I just break it down? I'm going to break it down so you have no confusion. By the time you leave here, you will know how to take care of yourself and you know how to take care of your family. You know the essential things that you need to do so you are equipped in the things in the natural. How many people can be here if we can do this once? Okay. Now, I'm going to expect you to be here, please. I am going to film these. So if you're going to be here, please come. You can invite as many people as you can. Because of, you know, Lord has been able to give a reputation on what I do, a lot of people in the area, if they learn because they watch me on TV, if they know that I'm going to be speaking, they'll probably come here. So I'm going to ask you if you can spread the word. This Wednesday night, I'm going to do a health class, okay? And I'm going to teach on health. I don't care, people can come from other places, other churches, I don't know. But I'm going to sow that into this community because I'm tired of seeing people sick. I'm tired of people being in needless pain. We did one on depression, and there's so many people here that had so many things in the natural that if they did one or two things in the natural, they could probably walk out of that dark shadow. So there's so many things that need to be helped here and need to be tended to. How many of you are just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Let me help you walk out. It's not nearly as hard as you think, okay? So, all right. I'm making the commitment. This Wednesday night, I'm going to teach the health class, okay? You'll be here. Any conflicts on schedule? Okay, don't forget to spread the word. God bless you, everybody. I'll see you on Wednesday. Let's let, who's up behind me? Oh, y'all can come on out. They're so polite. You guys can come out. But, yeah, I want to thank you. Also, you know, you're such a mature church. It is so nice that we don't have to just talk about little shallow things that make you feel ooey and gooey, that we can talk about God's word. So thank you for being who you are. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night, okay?